Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
B-Pod Studios.
And now,
I'm just trying to spell it out for the listener.
Felger and Mask.
S-T-O-O-P-I-D.
T-E-P-I-D.
B-O-B.
Boob.
Isn't that Bob?
Felger and Mask.
Q-U-I-T quit.
Okay, thank you. No, spell up for me too. I'm an idiot.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Was there a thought of challenging the spot early in the fourth quarter on James White's 2-yard run?
No, not really.
Did you get a second at that run?
I just answered the question, Doug.
Okay.
Yeah, don't you know you're not allowed to follow up with Bill? Not allowed to ask follow-ups.
And he didn't answer the question.
You can ask it once, but you're not allowed to ask follow-ups. That's the rule. Because don't you know, we're Bloomington, Indiana. And Bobby Knight's the coach, and he gets to dictate exactly what the media asks and how they ask it. That's the rule. You can ask it once, but don't badger him. Don't follow up with him, i.e. don't challenge him. So he answered it.
No, I answered that.
Didn't you understand it? I mean, I understood it clearly. How'd it go again, Murray? Yeah, I got it. Okay. Yeah. No, I'm sorry, Bill. Would you come again? Did you get a second opinion on that? I answered that.
I answered that, Mike.
Such a baby.
He really is. When I heard that, when I went, oh, you jerk. You jerk. And even give him a chance, like, did you not get a good look at it?
Right? So the follow-up is, did you get a second opinion on it? Because most teams, someone's responsible for it upstairs.
Yeah, Ernie.
Okay, Ernie or whoever the person is with the TiVo. That's a little dated, isn't it? With the DVR, whatever, who's got the replays. So he's like, so maybe Bill there's not throwing his guy under the bus, right? Like, I get it. Okay, that's not really, I get told in my headset by the dude, Ernie, or whoever upstairs watching the video. They didn't tell me to challenge it, so I didn't challenge it. So if Bill answers it that way, he throws under the bus the guy upstairs. I got it. But remember, folks, you may not ask the emperor a second question. Not allowed.
Well, he was more than happy to talk about lack of practice, though, in that postgame.
Oh, sure.
Oh, boy.
Sure. So that's just another indication of Bill letting things he can't control them. Not him. That's not the Patriots I thought we were getting, or the Belichick that I've known over the years. But felt like he kind of gave into the circumstances this time.
I mean, that's what I think it was. I think he, I think in his head he says, "Well, those spot challenges are hard. We're getting our ass kicked anyway.
Let's get the hell out of here.
What's the difference? Just kick the ball.
Let's get the hell exactly."
That's what I think happened. I do.
And he could have waited a little bit. I mean, they had the ball, so they could have...
Sure, milked it.
They could have milked it a little bit. They could have done something there. Someone take a knee, tie your shoe, injury, whatever. It was early in the fourth. I don't think it cost you time. Well, whatever. There was just time to give it a second look. But here comes the punt team, gone.
And I think he had it. I think he had it.
I think he obviously had it.
His knee didn't touch the ground. He put his hand down and stayed up and dove forward. I think they whiffed. I think Bill was snoozing. He wanted to get out of Dodge.
By that point, he was done. It was 18-3, and I just want to give you the exact time. There was 13 minutes left in the fourth quarter. Plenty of time. Could have been a first down. Still had the ball. And Bill's like, screw it. Kick it. Let's get out of here. They didn't let us practice. We aren't ready to go. Let's get out of here. Ooh, not a good day for him. Not a good day. I'll just say it again. If that were a player, we would say he's in decline. I'm not saying he is. I'm just telling you what we would do for an old player who had a day like that. We'd say we'd question his career. I mean, we question if he still had it.
I remember doing it with Julian Edelman, right?
Absolutely.
With all old players who have a day like that, whose team was not ready to go. How about the not accepting the penalty? This one I don't think has gotten enough. Because at the time, I'm like, what are you doing? So Denver has the ball. They're up 15-3. And they have a 3rd and 4 at the New England 36. Okay, they force an incomplete. So now Denver was called for an illegal use of hands. Okay, is that 5 or 10? Offensive illegal use of hands. I meant to look this up and I forgot. It really doesn't matter because it's the same principle. If you take the penalty, it's now 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 14.
That was the one up on Winovich's face. Yeah, yeah. Right?
That's right. That's right. So offensive illegal hands of the face, it might only be a 5. Either way, so 3rd and 9 at the 41. I'm sorry. McManus is not lining up from 59. You're not kicking from 59.
Not going that way. No way.
Not into the lighthouse end. Nope, you are not. 54 was about it. Okay? So instead of putting him in a 3rd and 9 or 3rd and 14, again, I should know whether that's 5 or 10, but either way, instead of putting him in 3rd and long and taking him out of field goal range, you'll let him line up and kick the 54-yarder.
Like, and that kid was nails.
Like, that's another one. They're saying, like, we're going to just stop playing?
Yeah, give up points.
You give him the 3?
Yeah.
I think the kicker's pretty good.
Yeah, let's keep this thing moving.
Like, seriously?
No, I'm not kidding. Like,
yeah.
The whole thing, and Mike, I'm sorry, and I know it's not perfectly analogous to the other two. I do include the two-point conversion, and I'm not saying that was, you know, you're down at that stage, 18-9, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. You're going to need another touchdown either way. Kick the extra point, stay within 8, keep Denver on their toes a little bit because they're playing a one-possession game now.
So this is I'm not going to blame for Bill's lethargy yesterday. I'm not. This is a new fangle thing. This is an analytic thing, and more teams are doing it. More and more teams, if there's that 2-score thing, and it's, I'll just do this off the top of my head so my number's not might not be exactly right, but if it's in this situation and you're going to need a 2-point either on your first touchdown or your second, they are now going for the 2 on that first one versus the making it 8-point game and going for it on the second. And there's a whole rationale behind it where you can manage the game a certain way and use your timeouts a certain way, and there's a methodology to it that a lot of teams are using.
Yeah. Okay, but I've seen that when teams are down 14, not 15.
So that's a new one too. This is different. This is a 15-point deficit. You need 2 touchdowns, and on one of them you need the 2-pointer.
Right.
Almost always now across the league, the teams are going for 2 on that first touchdown.
Okay, I think that's stupid because if you miss, now you need 2 scores.
Yeah.
Okay, so, but either way, you're going to need a 2-pointer on one of the 2 possessions.
Yeah, but now you need 3 possessions instead of 2.
But you're still going to need the 2-pointer, so you might end up needing that 3rd possession anyway.
No, once you miss the first one, you don't need the second 2-pointer.
Well, yes, you do, Maz.
No, so, because you've only scored 14 then.
I'm begging you not to do this on
the Mike, you're missing the point.
You're down 15 points.
Right, so if you miss 2 on the first one, you get it the second time, you're still down 1.
Don't yell at me. And you go for 2, you've missed it, now you need the 3rd possession. You're going to need the 2-pointer on one of those 2 possessions. And if you miss it, you're going to need a 3rd. Get it?
Oh, I get it. Yeah, I get it. You shouldn't need the 3rd possession if you kick the extra point the first time. You're down 8.
Right.
Touchdown, and then the 2-pointer. If you kick. And right. If you don't kick, now you need 2 possessions.
Right. But if you miss the 2-pointer on the second one, you're going to need it anyway.
Yeah, but you put the pressure on Denver. You make Denver play it like a one-possession game. You don't allow Denver to go back on the field saying, oh, that's okay, we can punt again. They score. We still get the lead.
You put the pressure on Drew Locke, who was pretty good, and Vic Fangio, who's a hammerhead.
Well, so this is what we're talking about now. So it's the math is the same, okay? That's what I'm trying to tell you. So now you get into the psychological argument of it's a one-possession game, they're going to handle it differently. It's a two-possession game, you're going to handle it differently. I'm telling you, the nerds have told them start going for the 2 on the first touchdown.
I get it. It comes down to analytics and your gut. And in that case, you trust your gut on that. Just make it an 8-point game there.
But the math is the same. You're going to need a 2-point on one of those 2, and if you miss it, you're going to need a 3rd possession. It's just it's all about when you're going to do it, okay? And so that one doesn't bother me. It doesn't.
Yeah. I mean, so now we want Bill Belichick doing what the nerds tell him to do? Is that what we want? No way. No way. I'm not telling you that was reflective of the lethargy, as you termed it. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about another questionable decision. I'm just throwing it in the pile. What?
So I prefer, if you're asking me, I prefer doing what you're doing. You make it a quote-unquote one-possession game. And that's the way it's always been done. That's the way I would do it. And, like, that makes sense to me. I don't get the new way of thinking, and I don't, you know, whatever. I'm just telling you, it's kind of common, and there is a rationale to it.
Yeah, but common doesn't mean it's right.
Well, no, I mean, I guess this is true. This is true. To me, the two other situations are different. The two other situations are, let's get the hell out of here. I think on that other one, Bill's playing that analytics game. I mean, look, you're saying if you make it a one possession game, you're putting more pressure on Denver. It's hard for Denver to crap itself more than it crapped itself on those last two possessions, okay, whether you made the two pointer or not.
So Bill said they're going to crap their pants either way? Like, no. I understand the analytic part of it, all of it. I get it. And I understand it's not related to the lethargy. I get it. I still think it was dumb. I still think it was stupid. Because if you kick the extra point, Denver has to play it as a one-possession game. And I think, you know, the one thing we often overlook in sports is the ripple effect of something that happens. So when something happens, we just assume everything that happened afterward would have happened the same way. No, not necessarily. You'd have been within eight, and who the hell knows? The next possession, do the Patriots just kick? Or do they go for the touchdown if they're only down eight?
So now I have to stop and think.
Okay, but the point, don't stop and think.
Which I don't want to do.
No, don't stop and think. I'm just telling you, I don't give a rat's ass what the nerds say.
So then they're down nine. They score six. They're down three. You would.
I don't give a rat's ass what the nerds say. I'm telling you, the ripple effect is everything changes. And especially for someone who preaches situational football. Bill preaches everything to the situation, which means every situation is unique. I just don't understand why he would risk being down nine when he could have been down eight just by kicking the freaking extra point. I thought that was dumb. Dumb.
I'm sure it's been written somewhere why they're doing it. I can't articulate it because, frankly, I don't want to know. But there is a reason and there is a rationale. So, anyway, those are your Bill Belichick second guesses. I'm sure there are more. Steve in the car, what's yours?
So, guys, let me back up before any of the other James White.
Steve, please don't back up. Just give me your take where you are right now without backing up.
Denver was third down and 23 deep in their own end. And Locke throws a 35-yard line pass to Patrick down the right sideline. He makes a nice over-the-shoulder catch. And he is clearly out of bounds. On real time, I'm seeing that he is out of bounds.
Okay, so that's a third and 21. That was the worst defensive play you had all day. I heard the midday guys talking about this. I didn't notice it. He stepped out?
I didn't think he was out of bounds either.
I didn't see that.
I'll look at it again.
Okay,
because I didn't think he was out of bounds.
He was sort of backing up. There's a weird thing now on the sideline with toes and heels and what constitutes getting that second foot in. So, I don't know. I thought that was clean.
Yeah, you gave it up. Good. I'm glad it went against you.
That's bang, bang. I mean, look, if they missed it, they missed it. I'll add that to the list.
We're going
to
whine about the refs. That's why they lost yesterday?
No. No. Let's complain about Bill, like, not paying attention like he should. Like, Bill sort of, I don't know, conceding or sort of giving up in this game, which is how it felt on the James White thing. Because that was freaking obvious. The James White one was not even debatable that he got that. And what? Like, no one even thought to say, Bill, just hold on a second. Let's take a look at this. Not kick it. Like, that's how it felt.
I mean, I told you, those two in particular were like, holy crap. And I do think that Bill sort of took the attitude of, you're not going to let us practice. You know, we got COVID here. I can't do it. I've been working at this for, you know, 40 years or 50 years, however the hell long he's been coaching. And I've got it all covered. And now you're going to flip the whole thing upside down on me and I can't do it my way. So go to hell. Kick. Kick. Send the punt team out there. Just kick. It doesn't matter anyway because they flipped the whole league upside down. Screw it. We're done. Kick it. Kick.
Instead of him overcoming things he can't control, which is what we thought he would do and they would do and why they would be ideally situated to be in good position because of this, you're one of the teams that's given into it, that were affected by it, which I did not think would happen. We continue with your reaction to yesterday's debacle. Also, you Brady people, we can hear from you. It was a good day for you right after these words.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter at Felger and Maz.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs, to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
By and large, we don't remember the last segment.
Felger and Mazz.
I mean, I don't remember what I said last segment. I don't remember what I said 60 seconds ago.
Felger and Mazz.
You don't remember who we are or what we said last week.
Yeah, but Felger, I'm the highlight of your show.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Now the Pats are going to line up and go for two.
Why are they going for two?
In an 18-9 game. Out of the eye formation, Harris behind Johnson. Tight end to the right. Edelman motions left to right. Newton has Harry in a tight set left. Newton takes the snap, drops back, play fake to Harris. Newton stands in, he pumps, feels some pressure, starts to run straight ahead. He goes down. Sylvester Williams brings him to the turf. Newton gets to the one. So the Patriots,
makes
who
no
needed
sense
a two-point
two.
Conversion at some point, opt to go for it down nine.
You go one to get it to 10 to keep it a one-possession game. The risk of going for two and not getting it is it's all for naught. You're still down now two possessions.
Well, that's a question for the postgame.
Wow. You see what I'm saying? You kick it, you get it to 10-18.
Yeah.
That's one possession. If you get the ball back again, that's a big if. You miss it, now it's 9-18. You kick. It's not even an argument. There's no debate.
Whoosh. Bill, could you all right, I should ask it this way. Why was going for 2 points after that touchdown the right call for you guys at that time?
We thought it was the best thing to do at that point.
You don't want to follow up with that? Emperor Nero does not allow follow-up questions, so don't. I've answered that. And that's how Bill explained it. Zoe was with you, Mass.
King Richard.
He wanted the kick there. When Zoe says, you know, if you get the ball back, and that's a big if. No, you got it back twice. Because Denver started dropping the ball, throwing interceptions, chucking it all over the yard with the clock winding down. You only having two timeouts. And Denver comes out and starts slinging it all over the field. That's why the Pats aren't out of it. Because there are more Vic Fangios in that league than there are guys who have a clue. And can you imagine what Denver was doing at the end of that ballgame, Mess?
Oh, my gosh, please. The second one in particular. You throw a pick. You give them the ball back. They get on and score. You get the ball, and you chuck it up. You chuck a bomb on the first play. Like, what a jackass. Of all the stupid coaching decisions I've ever seen, and God knows we've seen a lot of them, okay? Pete Carroll, chief among them, in the Super Bowl, no less. This might have been worse.
3:23 left. Denver is up 6 points at this juncture. Patriots have already burned one of their timeouts. So 3:23, Patriots have two timeouts. It burned some time. The Patriots have no chance. They burned 9 seconds. Gave the ball right back to the Patriots.
Unbelievable. I mean, really, un-freaking believable. Redefining stupidity.
The moron coaches in that league. Oh. Like how they handled that. And you can tell they had it in them, too. You remember how they handled their final drive before the end of the first half? Where if they didn't have McManus, they knocked themselves out of field goal range, essentially, if they didn't have that big leg McManus there, who hit a 54-yarder. I think it might have been the second or third down, but Locke takes like a 15-yard sack.
Oh, yeah, he sure did.
It's like, you idiot, what are you doing here?
Minus 13.
Yeah, that's what it was.
13-yard sack.
Yeah, so you could just tell, like, oh, some stupidity's going to catch up with them. I didn't think it would be to the level it did with those last couple of possessions.
You know, who are the Patriots, though, to complain about bad sacks? Newton killed them on a couple of those. Mm-hmm. Killed them. I mean, the last drive, you're in business. Like,
yep.
Against all odds, against anything that makes any kind of sense, Denver's handed you the football, okay? By all of a sudden, bombs away when all they need to do is run some clock. You get the ball back, and you are second and 10 at the Denver 24. Okay, this is after the Edelman dipsy doos and all of this. So you're at the 24, second and 10, and Newton takes that six-yard sack. Now you're third and 16.
And that was after a timeout.
And that was that after timeout, or they call a timeout after the sack?
I think it was both, wasn't it? Denver called a timeout after the sack.
Okay, so I think you got that backwards. But either way, you can't take that sack there. You can't take that sack. You can't.
Oh, you're right. You're right. You got it right.
Yeah, it was incomplete the play before. So the clock was stopped with 1:14. You had two timeouts left, second and 10, Denver 24. In fine shape. Fine shape. The one thing you can't have there is a sack. Really, the one thing. You can't lose yardage. You can't have the clock running there. And Newton takes that sack. So Newton killed him with some of those sacks. Our buddy Cam's in Taunton. Hi, Cam.
You guys know the famous scene in Seinfeld when Kramer walks back in the apartment after sucking a golf and he throws the clubs on the ground and says, I don't want them. Take him. That's what I want to do to Edelman to the Bucks now. Guys, let's just call it for what it is. He's checked out. He's seeing his boys in Tampa having a good time, and he's stuck here with his miserable boss. He's not giving. Yes, he's lost a step, but he's checked out. You want to know why he's not a cap and feather? Because he's a jackass. Send him to Tampa with his boys so he can have a good time. Julian, thank you for everything, but I'm done with the guy.
Okay, a little strong, but
physically he's not the same player. First half of that game, though, he looked like he wanted to be anywhere else.
He was targeted once.
Okay, so you tell me, did you, Murray, were you there?
No. We do the post game here. We don't watch it.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, that's what I thought. Like on the TV copy, it's hard for me to tell. Is he trying to get open? I don't know. I haven't gone back and watched it. But I'd like to know this. Like, was he just.
Well, I know. I mean,
he was half assing.
I do that post game with Joe Murray, and Joe Murray had tweeted it at the time, too. And we talked about it in the post game that in the first half, Edelman was just dogging it. Like, that's what he saw. And if you look, there was a certain couple of plays where it just looked like he was.
That's gross.
Yeah.
If that's the case, that's
throwing
gross.
Throwing it out there.
That is gross. Slapping it out there because he misses his buddy in Tampa. That I can't stand.
Or just how they all carried themselves yesterday because of what? We didn't get to practice enough? Like, it's the Denver Broncos. You didn't play Kansas City. You didn't play Baltimore. You didn't play Pittsburgh. You should have been able to had, you know, a couple of Zoom practices, talked it over, considering the history of some of these guys having the league. Belichick, the greatest coach ever. Cam Newton, who's a former MVP. You didn't miss it that much. Was it a factor? A little bit. But it's not the...
No. It's how you carried yourself. Yeah. You're right. It's like, oh, they made us play in Kansas City. We couldn't practice. Now they're making us play this game. I mean, all we got was Zoom calls. Ugh. And that's how they all carried themselves, including, worst of all, the coach.
See, I put it on the coach because, again, it's the coach. This is what his strength is, isn't it? This is what we've been giving him credit for 20 years. He keeps them focused. He keeps them dialed in. They don't have letdowns against bad teams. How many times have we said that?
Yeah, absolutely.
So if the roster, if the players took that on, oh, to me, that comes from Bill. That comes from Bill.
Agreed 100%. Tom and Quincy. Hi, Tom.
How you doing, Roger? I'll kind of make this shot. I was going to talk a little longer, but I'll just make this shot.
Good.
Mo Belichick and Larry McDaniels are two horrible coaches. I don't know why you guys like those coaches. They're horrible coaches.
Bill Belichick's a horrible coach, Tom? Is Bill Belichick
a
horrible
coach? Yes, he is. I don't know why the owners ever got him. He isn't a good coach.
Okay, Tom, I don't find that to be very productive. Right. You could absolutely say he had a horrible week. I'll even allow for you to say he's slipping or he's losing it. Because, again, I'm just being fair. I've taken the Belichick side on this thing. You know how I feel about him. But at least I am fair. I try to be. And if that were a player, if that were an old player, and he had a day like that and his team looked like that, we would say that player's losing it. So that's what I will say about that coach on this day. If that were a player, that's what we'd be saying. That looks like a coach in decline who can't get his team to overcome adversity or, you know, ignore a distraction or some sort of curveball that they were thrown. And so they just sort of gave into it. That's what happened to the Patriots yesterday.
I mean, the more we talk about it, the white play was the worst.
What are you doing? Is anyone awake? Hello? Is anyone awake?
Because they didn't even try. That's what made it the worst. At least on some of the other ones, you could use the argument of, well, I didn't have confidence in my defense. You know, it was a long kick into the lighthouse and blah, 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 blah. And on the two-point convert, all of that.
Yep.
What's the excuse on the white play?
None. They're asleep at the wheel.
He didn't try. They didn't try. The coaching staff did not try on that play.
Kevin and Everett. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, guys. You know, after Harry had one good game about a month ago, you sat there and you said, See what happens when a quarterback works with a young receiver?
Yes, I liked that, Kevin.
You know, maybe a six-time Super Bowl-winning quarterback can just evaluate a sucky receiver when he sees one. Thanks, guys.
Okay, Kevin, good call. That's it. I mean, you deserve that this week. That's where we are this week.
Blah.
That's where we are.
Harry sucks.
Look, after that, he's talking about, I'm pretty sure after the Seattle game, where Harry had a rough so in the opener, he fumbled through the end zone, right? Is that
right.
What it was?
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's like, oh, Harry sucks, Harry's this, Harry's that. Cam Newton comes out and says a bunch of nice things about him.
Talked him up.
Gets a really good game from him in Seattle, right? And then the next day, like our side of it, see, well, it's you see what happens when you've got a quarterback who actually believes in the guy, right? That was our week.
I don't remember saying that.
I do. Yeah. This is your week. This is your week where you get to say, you know what, Felger? Maybe that receiver just blows.
The wide receivers and the tight ends on this team all suck, and they're all slow.
And Brady didn't deserve to give him any support, because why give anyone support who sucks? You can support him all you want. If he sucks, he sucks. So what's the point? Today's your day to do it. Go ahead, 617-779-0985.
Yeah, Tom was right. Nikhil's a stooge. Moe, Harry, and Curly.
That's what it feels like today. My goodness. 0.0. Harry and Edelman, those two. Did they even play? I mean, did you even notice them until the very end there?
One target between them in the first half.
Oh, my God. This is a reentry Monday. Everything's on the table from the weekend, but we're focused on the Patriots. Obviously, a little bit of Brady down in Tampa. Reentry Mondays are presented by East Boston Savings Bank.
Yep. So if you're looking to finance a home mortgage or maybe a commercial real estate property, or maybe just looking for a free checking account, visit EBSB.com. That's East Boston Savings Bank. Getting it done since 1848. Here's Murray with the headlines.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every single game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. It's guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Stewart and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
You can listen to Felger and Mazz on your phone with the 98.5 The Sports Hub app.
Frankly, it's what we deserve. We're a nation of idiots.
Felger and Mazz, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
How much you felt like the time off impacted your performance in terms of, did you feel rusty? Did it take a little while to get going?
Oh, without a doubt. But yeah, you know, we're still professionals. And, you know, we're expected to do our job and play at a high level. And we didn't do that yet. Anytime you turn the ball over that many times, you know, the success rate is extremely low. But yet we still had an opportunity to win, and we just got to find ways to do that.
So that was Cam Newton postgame. I was disappointed that we didn't go back into the COVID stuff and the Gilmore dinner. And Gilmore wasn't even asked. In what I saw, they put the Gilmore thing on the NBC Sports Boston post game, and just in the clip that they showed on TV, Gilmore wasn't even asked about the Friday night dinner with Cam Newton before Kansas City. So I don't know if he actually subsequently was, but it wasn't in the part that aired. And then no one asked Cam Newton either.
You're surprised by that?
No, I guess not. I mean, it is a relevant topic. It is a storyline, you know, the COVID and the spread of it and how they got it, and were you doing everything you could to be careful and to make sure that you didn't get it or spread it? Like, those are all relevant topics. And he wasn't really asked about it. But to be fair, even if he was, he wouldn't have answered. Because I got the sense last night listening to Cam Newton in the postgame that Bill told him to shut the F up about it. Don't answer about it. Don't talk about it. Because, well, I mean, I'll just tell you why. Here, give me Newton 2 there, Jimmy, please.
First off, just how are you feeling with everything? And how did you take the news that you tested positive? What was that experience like for you? And how was the illness for you? Did you experience symptoms or anything?
Honestly, for me right now, I'm just trying to move forward. Obviously, respectfully, that was 2 weeks ago. Still bitter over the game and just trying to focus on ways to just get better. Obviously everybody knows what the situation was and, it is what it is. And I just know for me here moving forward, I just got to play better football and that's what my job is to do.
Okay. Non-answer. Tara Sullivan of the Globe then followed up, immediately tried it again.
Cam, I know you want to look forward, but it's kind of the first time, we've had a chance to ask anything about it. And I think that's why we're just sort of interested in how it felt to be back, kind of how much you missed your new teammates and how tough it was for you, to have something like that take the game away from you for a little while there and just what it felt, to be back. And if I guess then in light of that, if it took a little bit to kind of get the engine going a little bit today.
Yeah, I know exactly, what it is. It's just respectfully for the sake of where we are right now. I don't think it's beneficial for me to speak on that. Being obviously the performance today, it showed a lot of, much needed. The time off showed, but yet, like I said, I have to be better and I will be better.
Okay, so it's part accountability, but it's also part, I just think it's clear. Bill said, we're not talking about it. And what sort of bugs me is that the players won't say that.
That coach told me not to say
exactly.
About it.
Yeah. Cam Newton, I think, is not just well spoken, but from what I've gathered here, just in his time here and in Carolina, ask him a question, he'll answer it. If he doesn't want to, he said there respectfully, but for the most part, he doesn't duck questions, and it's not his style. He'll take the question and give you an answer. But here it's like respectfully, it's about moving forward. It's not beneficial for me to speak on it. That's not what he does. So Bill told him to put a sock in it. So I would love is if the players came out and said, Bill told me not to talk about it. Put it on Bill.
Like Gronk did.
Exactly. Yeah, only guy that did it was Gronk. After Brandon Cooks rode him like a horse, he said, I kind of want to talk about him. Bill won't. He gets mad when he talks about it. He says, I guess I won't, but I kind of want to. That quote we paid a million times. So Bill, in a true chicken bleep fashion from Belichick, not only does he tell the players, you're not allowed to talk about it, you're not allowed to tell them, I told you not to talk about it. Like, it's a double whammy. Because if I'm Cam Newton, I'm saying, yeah, I'd like to tell you everything I know, but Bill doesn't want me to say anything. They just put it on him.
So the part of it that bugs me is that Bill tells them, it feels to me like Bill says something, we're not going to use it as an excuse. But then after the game, Bill uses it as an excuse.
So that's a good one, too. I mean, that's the right reason for Bill not to allow him to talk about injuries or things like that. But I think the way Bill carried himself that entire day was he was using it as an excuse.
Well, so like part of me wonders, did Bill say to them the whole week, listen, we're getting screwed here. We're getting screwed, but we're not going to talk about it. Okay? But we're getting screwed, but we're not going to talk about
yes.
it.
Yes.
It feels like that's what he did.
Yes.
And then he goes out there post-game and says, well, we just, guys out there that never practiced together, we just need more practice. So if he doesn't even want to blame the league, right? Like, he won't come right out and say it was ridiculous that we played this game.
No, but he'll sure tell people off the record about that.
Right. So again, he'll do it in some sort of, passive-aggressive, take the onus off of me thing so I don't have to take the heat for it, for flapping my gums. I'm telling you, that James White play was eye-opening. It really was. It was eye-opening. Since when does Bill Belichick throw his hands up and say, I just punt?
Well, so just let me get to that 1 second. On Newton, so is anyone going to ask him about the dinner on Friday night with Stephon Gilmore? It is relevant. You may think it's not because it sounds so trivial, but it is germane. It is. So no one asked them last night. On EEI this morning, he was asked.
Yeah, so he was asked about the dinner. He just replied, next question, and then added, there's nothing good for me to answer any of these questions.
Okay, it happened, and Bill told him to shut up about it. So that's
the read on it.
If it didn't happen, it's very easy to say it didn't happen. I mean, like, Bill will let you say that. If it categorically did not happen, Bill allows you to say that didn't happen. That's not prohibited there. So it obviously did happen.
That's what I think, too.
And Bill told him to put a sock in it. I don't want to hear it. You're not going to talk about it.
Yeah, especially because the next question becomes, and how did Schefter find out about it?
I was just going to say, because especially I told Schefter you did, is we're not going to, I'm not going to throw Schefter under the bus. He's my guy.
Right, because we leaked it. I know it's true because we leaked it. So shut up and don't say anything.
Bill had a bad weekend. Bad weekend. We can debate. You know, to me, not reviewing the James White thing is not debatable.
It's unbelievable when you really start thinking about
it. Not debatable.
Unconscionable.
Okay? The two-point conversion, debatable. Even allowing him to kick the 54-yarder, kind of debatable. I mean, I'm sorry. McManus has 54 in him. He doesn't have 59 or 64. Not into the Lighthouse end. But if you want to debate it, you can. Okay? You can't debate the James White thing. What? I talk about asleep at the switch. The whole operation. So, and then he just his weaseling out of it. So he's asked today by Mike Reese on the conference call. We'll take out the question here, Jimmy. We don't need Sean McAdam with the four scoring 24 years ago. Quite a long question. It was basically,
given the predicament and the hurdles you have had to overcome,
they went to realignment
in
1994. Now, we all know that they haven't won the division
between
since
the suspension
1966.
Of
now, given all of that and then the current Gilmore conditions, going down. Four scoring 20 years ago, like, okay, good question. The question ends with Mike asking, you know, about that challenge on the James White play. And then, are you happy with your operation, like the guy up in the booth or whatever? Here's Bill's answer.
Yeah, I mean, I do. I feel that's, you know, it's nice to be able to, you know, sit up there and watch replay after replay and, you know, have unlimited challenges. But that's just not the way it is. So, you know, we don't have unlimited challenges, and we challenged the touchdown, the quarterback sneak on the touchdown. So we thought that was enough to overturn it. You know, there's a lot of close plays out there. You know, if you challenge all of them, then you run out of timeouts and run out of challenges and everything else. So you have to pick out the ones that you think are the right ones, and certainly an unscientific process, but like we take the information and do the best we can. I'm sure it could be done better. I'm sure there's other people could manage it better, but we'll just do the best that we can.
Okay. So
thank you.
You're welcome. So the second part, fine. There's some admission there, or, you know, but he's still a baby about it. You know, I'm sure others could do it better. You know, like, just stop it.
If we had unlimited challenge.
Okay. The unlimited challenge thing. All right. Yes, they did use one on that Newton.
No, we don't have unlimited challenges. And
okay. You get two. And you're in the fourth quarter, and the James White play was a possession play. So that's you having the ball or not. That's a massive play.
I agree.
That's a massive sequence right there.
We don't have unlimited challenges.
No, and you would save them for the fourth quarter, so you have both challenges to use in the fourth quarter. You are down 15 points, okay? That is 18-3 at that point, and there's 13 minutes left in the fourth, and James White obviously picks up a first down coming out of your own end. That's not, you're still preserving timeouts at that point?
We don't have unlimited challenges.
Or challenges, rather? Like, that's so disingenuous.
Well, that's what I think, too. I think he just kind of threw his hands up and says, we suck. We suck today. Just kick it. I think he kind of gave up. Now, as I look at the game log, there's only one reason to not challenge that. We're on the 17-yard line. We're not going to get another first down anyway. Just kick the ball. Like, and I don't think that was it. I think he looked at it and said, it's a spot challenge. We suck. We're not going to win today anyway. Just kick the ball out. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. I think he threw his hands up and he borderline quit. That's what I think.
Long commercial-free segment is next. Stick around.
We don't have unlimited challenges.
Boston's home for sports. Failure and Mass. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. That's $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. What are you waiting for? Visit FanDuel.com/Fred and make your first bet an automatic win. FanDuel, America's number one sports book.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Bill Belichick sits down with Zoe for his exclusive game day interview all season long.
Big win against the Eagles.
Everybody did a good job.
Now back to Felger and Mads. Boston's home for sport. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
There's no need to panic, but we for sure have an opportunity here that, you know, we just cannot allow ourselves to just go through the motions and expect, you know, us being who we are is going to take care of itself, because that's not the case. We're not that good at that particular point yet. And we need, obviously, practice. And hopefully everything else is halted, you know, from the COVID situation, and which will allow us to do that. But yeah, even if whatever the situation is, we know we're not the only team that's being faced with it. And we just have to be ready to go here moving forward.
Okay. Bigger picture question is, can Cam Newton get his game back? After Seattle, man, we thought we were in business, right? Real quarterback, real team, here we go. He's sucked since then, and then caught COVID, which, you know, either is not his fault or maybe partly his fault or whatever. Only quarterback in the league to get it and to have himself, you know, lose time because of it. So he's lights out in Seattle, then comes back against Oakland. Vegas, not very good. Then gets put on the COVID list, and now comes back and was atrocious yesterday. So big picture question: where's the arrow pointing on him?
I mean, when you add in the one in the middle, they've had really bad quarterback play 3 games in a row. Seriously, and obviously it's about him. So he better get his act together. I mean, so the next two are San Francisco and Buffalo?
I believe so.
I mean, he threw downfield. He was off target. There was one he missed, Damier Byrd down the left sideline, that he had him, and he just overthrew him. The one at the end, the last play of the game, to N'Keal Harry, he missed him there. Did he hammer his hand on a helmet at one point? I heard Zoe talking about this. I think it might have been
So I missed it.
Late in the second half, maybe? Early third quarter? This is just, you know, coming back to me. But I think there was a little bit of a concern in Zoe's voice at one point. I think it sounded like he hit his throwing hand on someone's helmet, and then nothing really became of it. But his accuracy was certainly not there, especially in the second half.
I know you've talked about his mechanics earlier in the year. Like, looking back at some of the video that's out there now and some of the stills, boy, he looked awful yesterday.
Slippage, definitely.
I mean, he's like stepping into the bucket and just, you know, he's wide open when he's throwing the ball. It's flying all over the place.
Yes, sir.
And not to mention, they had to resort to trick plays to have Julian Edelman throw the effing ball.
Of course.
What are we doing?
That's trying to move the ball. It was the only way they could do it.
Against Denver.
He had one completion to James White yesterday that he caught the ball. It was down by his shins.
Absolutely, Maz. On a slant.
Oh, my God.
It was an awful throw.
Absolutely.
Awful. I remember thinking, White made a hell of a play there to catch it. That was an awful, and it's an easy throw.
So Bill's going to get his precious practice back, and he's, you know, start getting into Newton again on his mechanics. Nick and Dedham. Go ahead, Nick. Nick, are you there? You can call us back. You obviously know the number. Nelson in Brookline. Hi, Nelson. You're up next with Felger and Mass.
You guys just made the point that I was about to call on. You're bashing Julian for supposedly dropping all these balls and his slow regression, but you're not taking into account the fact that Newton's aim is crap. He's throwing things at the floor, at the ground. He's throwing away from people. That's the shot that he threw at Damier Byrd. He underthrew it. He didn't bleed him. They ought to know what the hell happened to his arm, but nonetheless, that's what happened. I tried to find something to compare Edelman's decline with, whatever you want to call it.
Oh, it was a million
another player. And it was Cole Beasley. But Cole Beasley is actually doing better than him. So that, screw that.
Beasley, Corbett, Welker, those slot guys, man, when their expire date hits, you notice it. And it's obvious. And if that's where Edelman is, you know, that sucks. That's too bad for him. If his head is somewhere else, if he's, you know, just slapping it out there because his heart's not in it, then that's not, you know, there's no excuse for that, and he deserves to be criticized. If he's just physically spent because of all the pounding, which happens at that position, that's a different thing. But I don't want to hear that he's just, you know, he's lollygagging out there, Murray.
He didn't look right in the first half. Like, and it just, you know, and Joe Murray said in the postgame, it felt to him that it was, he wanted to be anywhere else but on the field.
So I'll tell you what, I want to go watch some of that then, because he is... The one thing I can't explain is, how is there only one target for him and Harry combined in the first half?
And it was that one target that was underthrown to him that I think I know what Joe was talking about. He just was like, eh.
Yeah,
like,
yeah, I remember that play.
Yeah, he was just kind of like, eh.
Like, not even close.
Yeah.
Joe, I'm sorry, it's Kevin in Foxborough on Going for Two. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, guys. So a couple of weeks ago, I remember another point for two in that same type of situation.
Kevin.
You'd think you'd know.
You know, I want to hear this call, too.
Hold it like a pizza. I haven't hung up on you. Hold it like a pizza, okay? Try it again.
Is that better?
Yes, go.
All right, so basically, I thought since there was an injury timeout for the Broncos, they had more time to find a play that they liked as opposed to going for two later. There was an injury timeout because they had more time.
I see. So that's why they went for two there because, and I don't remember this, there was an injury there.
Sounds right. Sounds right, because I do remember there was a point in the game where the Broncos had someone down, and I went, ooh, I wonder what will happen here. But if that's true, how'd you feel about the play?
Okay, so the play I didn't love. The play I didn't love. I'm just a lot of teams are doing. There's a whole analytics wave, Maz. And you hear, you know, like Collinsworth complain about it, and all these guys about going for it on fourth down more than you used to, going for two more than you used to. Crennel, in that Houston game, there was a late touchdown that Houston scored to put them up 7, and Crennel went for 2 to get the win.
Right. How did that work out?
Oh, horribly. Horribly.
Unbelievable that he did that. Unbelievable.
I think the nerds are encouraging 2-point conversions and fourth down.
Yeah, the nerds are stupid. The nerds didn't play football.
Ruining sports.
So again, and look, I get the logic that you say, well, if you do it on the first one, the defense doesn't necessarily know it's coming. I get the math of it. Well, no, I get the math.
I think the rationale is that you then get to control your last two possessions, meaning you get to play for two possessions, where if you save the two-pointer for the second touchdown, Maz, there may only be 5 seconds left and you don't control getting the ball back again. That's what I'm getting from the nerds that are contacting me.
Okay. Well, the nerds can kiss my ass. Because I'm sorry. You kick the extra point there for your Belichick. You keep it a one-score game. Because if you risk it there and you lose, and it's a 50-50 proposition, you now need the ball twice.
I mean, you're going to see it more and more. The thing you mentioned earlier, Murray, one of you, like, there's this thing now, you're down 14 points.
You score, you go for two.
The nerds tell you to go for two.
Right, they tell you to go for two twice.
Go for two twice. If you get it the first time, then you're kicking an extra point to win the game. If you miss it the first time, oh, well, you go for it the second time. Still a chance to tie it, and those are 50-50 propositions anyway. So run the numbers, Murray. You might as well go for two on that first one.
I hope it fails every time, then.
Seriously.
Just play it the right way.
Yeah, I am too. I think that this is, again, this is what's crippling sports. Everyone's overthinking it because you're treating it like it's played on paper, and it's not. You're taking the human element out of it, and keeping pressure on the other team is part of it.
Scott in Rhode Island on Brady Rogers. Go ahead, Scott.
Yes, hello. I was just wondering, how does it feel to have Tampa Bay stick it right in your gopher hole?
I've never heard that one before.
Stick it in your what?
Gopher hole. But you see...
it was inviting, truthfully. I mean, I've been rooting for him.
Gopher hole, that's Minnesota. So you'd stick it in your gopher hole. You'd stick it in my badger hole. Okay, so I got badgered yesterday. I took a good badgering. You know what? It's not the first time I've seen this. Believe me, been here many, many times. Packers, Rodgers going to a big game and not just lose, but like no show. Like it happens a lot. It happens a lot. It happened last year in the NFC Championship game. It happens from, you know, more from time to time. They don't just lose. They like, you don't even belong on the same field.
They got smacked yesterday is what happened.
The worst part of it was just the utter panic for a guy who's been around so long. Aaron Rodgers throws one interception, makes one mistake on that pick six, and like completely just felt like, And now I'm going to get back on every single throw I make for the rest of the half. And they just started chucking it all over the yard. Complete panic on the part of that team and that player. So, yeah, that was a good badgering. Here comes Murray's update. 90 seconds, no commercials. We come back with your reaction to yesterday.
It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing. And FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks. And all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looking for hope? House of Possibilities offers children and adults with disabilities a path to greater independence. From social to recreational programs to overnight respite and career and community access opportunities, House of Possibilities is changing the way people see disabilities and their program participants see themselves. Visit houseofpossibilities.org to learn more or to support their work. That's houseofpossibilities.org. House of Possibilities. See what belonging can do.
Hey there, Boston. This is Noah Barney from North Attleboro. This year, I will be running not just one marathon, but I'm attempting to complete all 6 world major marathons. And I'm proud to run the 2024 Boston Marathon to support Boston Scores, an amazing nonprofit that uses soccer and poetry to inspire and empower youth. As a former collegiate soccer player, I am honored to be part of the Boston Scores Marathon team and support free after-school and summer learning programs for 1,500 local students each year. Learn more and support my run today at Boston Scores.org/Noah.